A newspaper report last weekend suggested Cincinnati officials allowed the federal government to quietly decertify a flood levee protecting Lunkin Airport and nearby homes and businesses without telling city council or the affected property owners. The testimony from city officials and documents suggest the process was anything but quiet. WVXU's Jay Hanselman has more.
Council's Budget and Finance Committee heard about the Lunkin flood levee during a meeting last Tuesday. Officials told council members the city learned the Federal Emergency Management Agency was going to decertify the levee in a September 2007 letter because it no longer met federal regulations. FEMA determined the levee needed to be raised between 1.5 to 3 feet to provide adequate flood protection. The city said such improvements would cost anywhere from $12 to $115 million. In May 2008, then-City Manager Milton Dehoney sent a memo to the mayor and council members explaining the FEMA decision with a copy of the 2007 letter attached to it. Amit Ghosh with Buildings and Inspections told council the city notified the 471 parcel owners about the FEMA decision in 2008 and held an open house for them on the issue.
We explained to them that you want to get flood insurance before the maps change so that you can be grandfathered. And some of them did that. Now, there were those that probably didn't do it. And if they had a federally backed mortgage, then their mortgage holder informed them that you have a federally backed mortgage and you are in a special flood hazard area, you need to buy flood insurance.
Ghosh says the area affected by the FEMA decision is pretty compact, including about 30 homes and some businesses on Wilmer Avenue across from Lunkin Airport. He says in 2010, City Council approved an ordinance related to the issue.
Based on FEMA's decisions, the maps were revised in February of 2010, showing that this area is within the floodplain of the Ohio River.
At least one council member, Charlie Winburn, suggested during last week's meeting the city hadn't notified council or the affected homeowners about the change. Winburn was not on council when the memo was issued in 2008, but he did cast a yes vote on the 2010 ordinance changing the maps. He says he doesn't remember that vote. Councilmember Wendell Young defended the city administration.
Because this has a flavor for me of sort of accusing the administration of having dropped the ball and not done its job, and I'm not comfortable with that. So at least for myself, I want to make very clear that I don't have that impression from anything they said or from anything I've read.
The city does plan to continue maintaining the existing levee at Lunkin, and it will provide protection from flooding except in the most extreme circumstances. Council members did ask a number of questions about the issue last week, and city officials are expected to have responses for the group next week.
Cincinnati is a step closer to letting a federal court mediate a solution to the pension problem. A committee approved the issue yesterday, and the full city council is expected to vote on it tomorrow. WVXU's Jay Hanselman reports.
The ordinance would let the city manager negotiate a settlement agreement with various parties on a long-term solution to the pension issue. Right now, the retirement system is only 61% funded, and that will only get worse without some action soon. The mediation would touch some sensitive areas, like changing cost of living adjustments for current retirees and perhaps suspend them for a few years. There could also be changes to retiree health care. Most of yesterday's committee discussion revolved around the city's annual required contribution to the pension system. Acting City Solicitor Terry Nestor describes how that will be negotiated.
That is something that is palatable to the city for budgetary certainty, but also provides certainty to the retirees that the city will always make that contribution and it will not change depending on the vagaries of the market.
Most of the items up for discussion in mediation have minimums or maximums. The annual contribution does not. A committee vote to amend the ordinance to include them failed. Councilmember Chris Seelbach says the city's contribution should not be lowered.
The city has an incentive to decrease the ARC contribution because it will help solve the budget deficit this year. And to me, that's of great concern because it doesn't ask the question, is this the best for the city long term, and is it best for retirees?
Seelbach urged current workers and retirees to push for a higher contribution during the mediation process. Councilmember Kevin Flynn was okay with the plan not giving guidance on how much that should be.
The goal is to get to a stabilized contribution on the part of the city that protects the long-term health in compliance with state law, where we have to be balanced within 30 years.
Right now, the city is contributing 22% of its payroll amount to the pension system. It's scheduled to increase to 28% in the coming years. But a mediated settlement could reduce it to 14% of payroll. The negotiation process on the pension issue is expected to take 6 to 12 months. Cincinnati transportation officials are proposing a compromise plan to restore some parking while still installing protected bicycle lanes on Central Parkway. It would help alleviate the concerns of Tim Haynes, who owns a building with several businesses located near Ravine Street. The current proposal would eliminate street parking in front of his building during morning rush hour.
But when people say, Tim, you shouldn't have come forward on the 11th hour, I, along with all these other business owners, we found out at the 11th hour. We had no option.
City officials are proposing to shift the bike lane out of traffic in that location and place it closer to the sidewalk. That plan would take out several trees and add about $100,000 to the project's cost. A council committee heard from plenty of supporters who think the protected bike lane should be installed. Resident Edgar Powell.
I believe that the addition of a bike lane on this key route would connect neighborhoods and increase mobility to individuals with limited transportation resources. Clearly, the bike lane would add revenue to the city and its residents.
Some council members want to work on the compromise, while four others want the original plan to continue. The city faces a May 1st deadline to sign a contract for the project. Council rules could also prevent the compromise side from getting something passed quickly. The city eventually wants to install protected bike lanes on Central Parkway from Elm Street in downtown to Ludlow Avenue near Cincinnati State. Cincinnati Council is expected to approve the city's operating budget today for the fiscal year, which starts July 1st. The Budget and Finance Committee held a final public hearing on the spending plan last night. 25 people offered their comments at Midway Elementary School in Westwood. The majority of them spoke in favor of city funding to improve neighborhood business districts. Melissa Wiegman says it's a model other regions look at.
That model is one that until you get on the outside and you look in, you don't realize how good it is. That money that we get, you have over thousands of hours of volunteers. You have people that are collaborating within communities that are less fortunate, but are able to learn from the experiences from the successful communities.
Neighborhood business districts usually get $1 to $2 million of funding from the city. The interim city manager in the mayor's budget eliminated that money for the new fiscal year. Council is ready to restore $500,000 of that funding, but right now there's not a source for that money. A couple of other speakers thank council for not cutting human services funding in the new budget, but Josh Spring with the Greater Cincinnati Homeless Coalition says all such funding needs to go through the United Way process that was adopted a few years ago. He cites additional city money for the Center for Closing the Health Gap and a Price Hill Ministry program.
All of which may be wonderful, but the problem is we don't know, because every other group has to go through a process where how will you evaluate, where will you spend the money, and that reduces the politicking and it allows evaluation later to see if they're doing what they said.
Other speakers spoke about funding for the city's health department, efforts to reduce infant mortality, and continued support for the African American Chamber of Commerce. Meanwhile, council will consider two budgets today for the waterworks. One will have a 7.5% rate hike, and another has a 4% increase. Cincinnati's mayor and the city manager will be meeting with the city streetcar team this week to discuss the dwindling amount of money in the contingency fund. If all worst-case scenarios happen, the fund could have just $80,000 left in it. It started out with more than $9 million. Mayor John Cranley says the message to streetcar officials John Dietrich and Chris Eilerman will be this.
We need to have a team that's going to bring this streetcar in under on time and under budget, or we need a new team. The city manager is already working with Dietrich and Eilerman to make sure that they prune the budget and take items out of it to make sure that there's sufficient cushion to bring it on time and under budget.
The latest contingency numbers were reported yesterday during a city council committee meeting. It's causing some concern since there's still much construction work to do before operations begin in September 2016. Councilmember Chris Seelbach is confident the funds will be enough.
The contingency fund was always meant to be for additional expenses that we were not aware of when we first allocated the resources to build the streetcar. And in a worst-case scenario, which I don't think is going to happen, we still have money in our contingency fund.
Sobach says he believes the streetcar officials will bring the project in on time and within budget.
Cincinnati's streetcar project is once again under a microscope after project officials said this week the contingency budget could have just $80,000 left in it if all worst-case scenarios happen. That balance was the subject of a meeting yesterday at City Hall. WVXU's Jay Hanselman reports.
Mayor John Cranley, City Manager Harry Black, Council Members Amy Murray and Kevin Flynn met with streetcar executives John Dietrich and Chris Eilerman behind closed doors for more than an hour. The topic, the shrinking contingency budget for the $148 million streetcar project. Mayor Cranley says the potential $80,000 balance is worrisome, even though there's more in the account right now.
You've only got a $2.5 million contingency on $70 million, and a conservative construction approach would be 10%. So that says to me that right now we're $4.5 to $5 million in the danger zone, and that means that that money's got to be cut out of the budget or council's got to give it more money, and I'm going to oppose more money.
$70 million is for construction yet to be completed on the first phase of the streetcar. Cranley says the public has a right to know the truth about the project's cost and what additional amounts might be needed.
One of the things we discovered in our meeting is that several things that have been spent out of contingency are items that are of absolute necessity to the project, and that the previous administration essentially acted like they weren't expenses in order to keep the cost figure down for political reasons. But the fact is they were necessary items.
There are two ways to make up any shortfall: add more money to the project or begin cutting its scope. The mayor campaigned against the streetcar and tried to kill it last year just after taking office. But six council members overruled him and allowed the project to continue. City Manager Harry Black says the team working on the streetcar will be going line by line on the remaining parts of construction.
The key is, the emphasis is, what's needed to deliver this project versus what, in addition, that we would like to see that's not necessarily essential.
Can you give some specific examples of, you know, what's needed, what's aspirational, what's desired?
One example would be at certain points along the route, there's a plan for bike racks. So therefore, is that a need for the overall integrity of the system, or is that something that is desired? That would be a clear-cut example, or that could be covered some other way without impacting the project.
Black says that review should happen relatively quickly. Councilmember Amy Murray, who chairs the committee responsible for overseeing the streetcar, says it needs to be completed within the existing budget.
We're just trying to figure out a way now, with 18 months left, what can we do? How can we best manage the project to make sure that it still comes in on time? But we're doing it with our hands tied behind our back a little bit, because some of the things weren't included in the original budget that should have been.
Murray also voted against continuing the project a year ago, but has been using her committee to get monthly updates on construction and spending. Council would have to approve any additional money for the project and identify a source for it. Six members would have to be in favor of such a proposal in order to override a likely mayoral veto. Cincinnati has reached a deal with its unions and retirees to save the ailing pension fund. Sean Grayson represents members of the AASHMI union.
We are elated that we were able to reach this agreement that is going to stabilize city finances, is going to guarantee benefits for retirees and for our members who aspire to be retirees in a way that's fiscally responsible.
The agreement calls for current employees and retirees to take a 3-year cost of living adjustment holiday and shifts $200 million from the health care trust fund to the pension fund. The city will make a larger contribution each year to the pension fund. The negotiations were overseen by U.S. District Judge Michael Barrett.